Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk, and you're listening to Trumper Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at kpcg.fm. Now, when people begin to study the Bible, the first question that most will ask is, can I prove that the Bible speaks with divine authority? I mean, after all, people are probably aware of many things that the Bible says. It's not uncommon to hear someone quote part of the Bible or paraphrase it. But at the same time, there are many books that say many things. We need to prove the authority of the Bible. God wants us to do that. Prove the authority of His Word. And we're going to look at some passages today. So if you have a Bible handy, please get that out. We'll look at these together. Let's notice Isaiah 1 and verse 18. Isaiah 1 and verse 18. God wants us, again, to prove the authority of the Bible. And He says here in Isaiah, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Eternal." God wants us to reason with Him, reason with His Word. See what He says. And then put it into practice in our lives. God is not far removed and indifferent. He wants to be involved in His people's life, and He certainly wants His people to look at His Word and understand it. Now, though the Bible is the bestseller of all time, with over 2.5 billion copies sold in the last 200 years, you heard that right, 2.5 billion copies, it really is the most misunderstood book of all time. I mean, if we think about a different type of book, imagine a cookbook, for example, top-selling cookbook, but everybody was making different dishes based upon the same recipes, that would be pretty confusing. You know, if the recipe is for meatloaf and one person comes out with a pumpkin pie and somebody else has got a meatloaf and then somebody else has got a cranberry sauce, well, hang on a second. Isn't this the same cookbook? Aren't we looking at the same recipes here? Why such a variety of dishes? Well, that's really the way it is with the Bible. People can't agree on what the Bible says or what the words mean. I've heard people come down on multiple sides of a question and both claim to be speaking from the Bible. Well, it can't be both ways. Something can't be right and wrong at the same time. We need to make sure we understand what the Bible really says, and that, in fact, it is God's inspired word. I mean, so many people throw their hands up in confusion and just go after other interests because they feel like they just can't understand what the Bible says. But understanding the Bible is essential for health and happiness. We all want to be healthy and happy. You can look in any bookstore, and one of the biggest sections is the self-help section. People want to be healthy and happy and improve, and the Bible shows us how to do that. The Bible is the book of books, and it unveils the secrets of human life, how we got here, why we were born, and where we are headed. And it reveals and describes some of the details of creation, the Creator's purpose for man, and His master plan for accomplishing that purpose. All of those answers are given in the Bible. That's how God speaks, is through that revelation and that understanding that is recorded in His Bible. Notice 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. This is talking about the value of the Bible. It says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." That's where it comes from. "And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Do you use the Bible for those things? Do I use the Bible in that way? It's a tool for us, but we have to use it the right way. You know, if we need to loosen a screw, I don't think we get a hammer out of the toolbox, right? That would be a pretty messy job if we tried to do it that way. We have to find the right tool for the job. Well, when we're trying to understand life and the purpose for life, the Bible is the tool for the job, and we have to understand what it says and know that it is the divine word of God. And unfortunately, many people just see the Bible as a fairy tale. because they don't understand it. So it seems like some sort of story. This greatest of all books is full of revealed knowledge that man simply cannot come to with his five senses. Herbert W. Armstrong called it the Maker's Instruction Manual because it provides instructions on how the human creation is to operate, and it teaches man how to live, to achieve real peace, true happiness, and lasting success, which we all want. And yet, for the most part, that instruction is foolishly disregarded or spurned. I recently read a book about how to improve memory. It was pretty interesting, and this one individual in the book that is a memory expert, he was lamenting that there isn't a book to show us how our brains work. He went to the library and he said, "Where's a book that shows me how my brain works?" And he said they didn't have one. But they did have one, if they had a Bible there. The Bible shows us how the human brain works. Now, I know he was looking for specific things on memory, but still, the Bible gives us insight into how our minds work, how our brains function. We get insight into that from the Bible, but yet oftentimes people don't think of the Bible in practical terms like that. Other important instruction from the Bible includes the cause of this world's evils, and it lays bare the raw corruption of the human heart. You can read that in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, where it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You know, recently we've come through an election cycle here in the United States for a variety of government positions, and you see all the ads. And if you were to believe the ads, the person sponsoring the ad has only the purest of motives, but their opponent is wicked to the core. What's true is that Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is desperately wicked. It is desperately wicked. If we were starting from that foundational point, things would certainly change, wouldn't they, in terms of our perspective on a lot of things. The Bible reveals that. The Bible reveals also who corrupts man's heart. You can read that in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 and Revelation 12 and verse 9. That shows that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He broadcasts wickedness and evil. And then Satan deceives the whole world, not just some, not just a small handful of people that claim to be devil worshipers that you might see on the news occasionally causing trouble. He deceives the whole world. And he comes as an angel of light. He looks good. He presents himself and his religion in a way that looks righteous, but it's not. He's a deceiver, and he deceives the whole world. How would we know that if it wasn't revealed in the Bible? The Bible shines a bright light on the significance of man's bloody history. I mean, why all these wars? Why all the violence? Why does evil exist? What is sin? What is righteous and good? The Bible gives answers to those questions. I mean, just think about the fact that the Bible defines what is righteous and good as well as what is sin. Who follows those standards today? Do you see that in modern society? I mean, the modern society in the West tells people today that they can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Even this morning, I was watching a video, and they had an ad before the video for a sporting good company. And the whole ad was about, you choose for yourself. You define for yourself who you are and what you are and really what's good. You decide. And isn't that the spirit of the age? You decide. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God decided right and wrong. He gave us commandments. And yet society today says, no, you can do what you want. Well, that's the same thing that Satan said. That's the same thing he told Eve. You can be as God. You can know good and evil. You can decide. Well, that's the same message that is broadcast today by Satan. So we really need God's truth on every matter. And where are we going to find that? We find it in the pages of the Bible. Notice what God says about his word in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God. There is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Now, that's a bold statement, but God, of course, can make that. God has the power to declare what will happen and then cause it to happen. No one else has that power. God created laws that are in effect. And, of course, people often ignore those laws, but that doesn't change the fact that those laws are still in effect. Keeping God's laws brings blessings, and breaking them brings curses. God has the power and authority to make it so, and he does. He decides right and wrong. He decides. You know, we can ignore gravity all we want, but gravity won't ignore us, will it? You know, we can believe that we can fly, but we're not going to be able to, unless we're in an airplane or something. Gravity has an effect. That's a law, and we all know that's a law. But God's spiritual laws are in effect as well. So what about it? I mean, can we prove the Bible is God's inspired word? And if so, then the question is, do we have the faith and courage to live by it when the whole society is living the other way and going the other way? And Satan deceives the whole world. It takes courage and it takes faith and it takes understanding to live by every word of God. God wants to prove his word true in our lives. Notice a really interesting passage in Malachi 3 and verse 10. Malachi 3 and verse 10, now this is talking specifically about the tithing law, but it brings out another point as well. Malachi 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, says the Eternal of Hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." See, God says, prove me. And in this case, he's talking about his tithing law. And he says, well, try it. Prove me. See if I will keep my promise. There's a promise here that if we pay our tithes to God, to God's work, he will bless us. He'll bless us. He says, try it. Prove me. I'll do it. And that's what God says really about all of his word. You know, when he gives us a law to obey, well, prove it. Try it. See if it works. See if it works. I mean, really, who has kept God's laws and not been happy? I mean, there's not an instance that I could ever think of. That's not been the case. Now, I suppose a person could misunderstand and misapply a law and have difficulties because of that. But if we understand the principle of God's law and we follow it, it brings blessings. It absolutely does. And God says, prove it. Try it. Prove his word true. So that's what we have to do. Prove all of God's word by keeping it. By keeping it. People that are critical of God's word probably don't keep it. They probably haven't proved it. I mean, the Bible is an astonishing book. When you look at the history of it, over 40 different writers from many different walks of life, and some were kings, shepherds, military leaders, philosophers, farmers, fishermen, every walk of life, all kinds of different people, and over a period of 1,600 years were used to pen its contents. And again, it's by the inspiration of God. And of course, the Bible, though, the thing that's so amazing about it, you have all these different authors written over all these period of years, and it agrees. The scripture agrees with other scripture. There are no contradictions. You know, John 10 and verse 35 says the scripture cannot be broken. There's no contradictions. And there are people that may have come up with a few things here and there and think they're contradictions, but those are easily proven not to be. If you go back and look at just some of the original text, of course, sometimes with translations, the translators get things a little askew, but you can prove if you want to study more in depthly into that, that in fact, the scriptures cannot be broken, just like it says. They don't contradict one another. God personally coordinated the Bible's development and directly inspired its writing. The Bible is the authoritative word of God in print. And it is a supernatural feat, and it's worthy of careful study. I mean, these are the words of God. God inspired them. And so shouldn't we study them? Shouldn't we be careful about them? Shouldn't we try to apply them and understand them the best that we can? And, of course, grow in that as God helps us? Let's look more deeply into God's word. We're going to do that and see how God does speak through his word. We'll take a look at that right after this short break. You're listening to Live by Every Word here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We'll be right back.
The relatively new science of archaeology, the digging up and study of the material remains of man's past, has confirmed without question the historical accuracy of the Bible. Solid, documented evidence, apart from the Bible, confirms events and persons that at one time were known to us only from Scripture. The Bible is real, and you need to pay attention to it. Call now and request your free copy of The Authority of the Bible. This lesson, which comes from the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, blows the dust off your Bible. You will learn how to mine the treasures buried in the greatest book on earth. You can discover its secrets and enrich your life today. For more information, please visit thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word.
Welcome back to Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Now, God does speak to his servants at times. And there are some very powerful examples recorded in the Bible. And we can read these to see what God said. They're recorded. Notice Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and we'll look at verses 1 through 3. It says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Eternal appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be you perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him." So Abram, and of course his name was later changed to Abraham, had a very special relationship with God. Now, the God speaking to Abraham was the Word who later became Jesus Christ. He was the God of the Old Testament, and you can study more into that topic if you'd like to. We have a lot of literature at thetrumpet.com that can get into that specifically. But that's who was speaking to Abraham. And he had this very special message to convey to Abraham, and it was recorded for our admonition as well. And Abraham heard it, and we can read it. We read the same message that he heard from God, and you can read the United States and Britain in Prophecy to understand more about just how vitally important the covenant God made with Abraham is. And that's at thetrumpet.com as well, and again, it's all free. But the point here is that, in this case, God did speak to Abraham, and we read his words today. Notice another example in Exodus 33 and verse 11 of God speaking in the way that he did it. Exodus 33 and verse 11, it says, "And the Eternal spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend." We all have friends, I think, I hope, and a lot of times we speak face to face with them. We have a special relationship, and this is the type of relationship that God had with Moses. Now, you can read in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17, where God revealed his law to them. This is what God was saying to ancient Israel. He had a message, and the message was, "Here are my commandments." And then notice the people's response to God's speaking in verses 18 through 20 of Exodus 20. It says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off." They were terrified of this display of power. "And they said unto Moses, speak you with us, we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not." See, God was making a point here. He was giving them his law. And he was saying, look, you know, you need to see some of the power here, because you should be afraid to break this law. That's the same law that you and I read when we read the Ten Commandments there in Exodus 20. So we need to have the same type of fear and respect that ancient Israel had. Now, it didn't last with them. Once the immediate power was not visible, they went about their ways. Of course, they did not have God's Spirit, and so they did not follow God's law like they should have. But the point is that God's law is very important. It's very powerful, and he wanted to show people the power of his law and the importance of it. Now, people were overwhelmed when they saw just a bit of God's power. And now we read those same words today that they heard, but we read the words in the Bible. And when we read them, we're usually in a quiet and peaceful setting. But God's words should have a major impact on us. And we should fear to ignore his words. We should fear to sin. And this isn't terror, but this is a respect for God and his word. How much value do we place on God's words? You know, if we were there in ancient Israel and we were seeing this powerful display, we'd of course be very much impacted by it. But what about reading the words? Are we as impacted as they were? I mean, we certainly should be. We certainly should be if we understand that this is the divine word of God that we're reading. God's law is binding on us today. You can see that in Matthew 5, verses 17 through 20. Christ's own words here. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." Take a look outside. Do you see earth? Do you see heaven? Do you see the skies, in other words, the clouds? Do you see that? Well, it's still there, isn't it? Well, and so is God's law. Christ said, not one little bit, not one jot, one tittle. It's not going to pass from the law. It's all in place today. Christ continued and said, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." So those religious leaders during Christ's day, they had certainly a show of being righteous, but they were not following the law. Not like they should have been. And so here we're told, make sure we pay attention to those words that God spoke. Pay attention to the Bible. Pay attention to when God speaks. When God speaks, we need to listen and pay careful attention to it. And he's not going to force us right now to do that. But if we don't listen, then we reap the fruits of that. And those are not good fruits. Now, God doesn't usually speak in such dramatic ways as he did to ancient Israel there in Exodus 20. But he still speaks. And notice how he speaks. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. It says, "God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." God usually gives his message through his apostles and prophets. You can see that in Ephesians 3 and verse 5. It says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit," by God's Holy Spirit. It's important that we know who God's apostle and prophet is today. And there's a lot more information about that at thetrumpet.com, including a book, Who is That Prophet?, and lots of other great material as well. So if you're not familiar with that, it's important to look at it because that's vital. If we don't know who God's apostle and prophet is, then how are we going to know what God's saying? I mean, Ephesians 3 and verse 5 just said that it's now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That's how we understand what God is saying today. That's how he works, and we have to understand that. Through his Spirit, God gave his apostles and his prophets the words they were commanded to speak on his behalf, and they were written down as part of the Holy Scriptures. And that's what we read today. It was given to men, and they wrote it down. You know, Moses wrote a lot of the Old Testament. And then, of course, Paul was a major writer in the New Testament, and there are plenty of other writers as well. But people that God was working with, and they wrote down the messages that God had for people to understand. Jeremiah is another one. You can think of all the Old Testament prophets where the word of the eternal came onto them and they wrote down what he said. And we read it today. God's revelation was recorded for us today. It is for our time today. There is no other book that records the words of God. You're only going to find it in the Bible. It's the only place we're going to find it. Notice why it's for us today. Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." We have to go back and look at what God's revealed to his prophets over the years and his apostles. And it's written in the Bible for us. And it's for us today, for our learning. Notice 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. It says, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples," all the things we read about in the Bible, "and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." You know, is that serious? The ends of the world? Well, that's what it says. We are the latest generation that's around. There's you know, we are on the cutting edge of history and prophecy. And it says we need to go back and look at those examples. We need to look at what God said. Look at God's word, because they're for our admonition. You know, we look at an example. Say you look at ancient Israel and what they went through. Well, there was a lot of examples there to look at that, you know, they didn't do things right. So we need to go the other direction and make better decisions. And then, of course, there's many positive examples as well. Hebrews 11 being the faith chapter. How did these great men and women of the Bible succeed in their lives? What did they do? How did they live by faith? And, of course, Christ's perfect example recorded in the Gospels. See, all those things are for our admonition. Why would we ignore that? How are we going to live in this life if we ignore those instructions, if we ignore God's word? We're just going to flounder. We do need to go back and look at the word of God. We are the people living in the final throes of man's civilization. God preserved the history of ancient Israel's rebellion for our admonition, so we can learn lessons from it, not repeat those mistakes. Only the Bible can teach us those lessons. Where else are we going to go to know about that history? It has to come from the Bible. And God had that history recorded. Notice Acts 1, last passage today. Acts 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto his apostles, whom he had chosen." See, God, Christ is still speaking. He is still speaking, right? How does he do it? Through the Holy Spirit, he gave commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen. And then it says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." That history is recorded for us as well. The Gospels, as well as other New Testament books, were written by eyewitnesses to the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. How do we know what Christ said? Because eyewitnesses wrote it down. And that's how we know what Christ taught. It's recorded in the Bible by eyewitnesses of his life. And then as it says, look, he through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He continues. His church continues, and he has chosen apostles throughout the years after that first century, and through the Holy Spirit also gives a revelation. And, of course, it comes from God the Father down through Jesus Christ, and then there's a process there that's talked about in Revelation, down through his apostle. That's the way God speaks and opens up understanding about his word, about his Bible. See, the Bible has to be unlocked for us to understand it. And Mystery of the Ages is a great place to start to understand what the Bible is all about, what it means. It puts the puzzle pieces together. And so that's free at thetrumpet.com as well. But God does speak. God speaks through his Bible and then unlocks that understanding through his apostles and through those prophets as well, anciently, and then those that he is working through today as well. The question for us is, do we have the ears to hear and the eyes to see what God the Father and Jesus Christ are saying to us through the pages of the Bible and through their chosen apostles over the years? Can we understand it? Can we hear it? Are our minds open to it? Do we have the faith and the courage to hear what God says and then to live by every word of it? Make sure you get Mystery of the Ages at thetrumpet.com, as well as Who is That Prophet? Very vital and important books to look at, to study, to read, and to understand, to get a better idea of where God is speaking today and what his message is. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.